Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And we are so excited about this program and our future programs. We're talking about the first foreign trip of our president, President Trump, as he is bringing in the new vision, the new narrative for the world, for America.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and the things that he said is coming to pass. And his first trip, international trip, is to Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, take a look now. This is so, so important. You know, we have a president that's saying, I'm ready to facilitate our vision, to no longer be the policeman of the world,
but
to empower others and back them to fight their own battles. And today's going to be all about that. As a matter of fact, we got so much packed in today's program. It's just so much, so many answers to prayer. But I think about this before we're thinking about Saudi Arabia. We want to think about 1945, which was the first time that this actually happened.
Yes.
It happened on the USS Quincy with President FDR, right? Franklin Roosevelt.
FDR.
As a matter of fact, take a look at this. Is Franklin Delano Roosevelt on the USS Quincy. And John, tell us a little bit about that, what took place there.
Well, as we know, Saudi Arabia is President Donald Trump's first stop on his international trip as the leader of the United States, a fact that highlights the importance that he attributes to the U.S. and Saudi relationship. President Trump's meeting with King Salman, and it makes him the seventh U.S. president, Greg, to have traveled to the Middle East to meet with the Saudi king since World War II.
Wow.
Pretty exciting.
Yes, it is.
Pretty exciting. The first meeting came, as you mentioned earlier, in 1945, when President Franklin Roosevelt invited King Saud, the king's father, to join him aboard the USS Quincy. And what's interesting about this is that President Roosevelt was on his way home from the Yalta Conference, where he, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and the Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin had discussed the future of post-war Europe. President Roosevelt requested the meeting with King Saud because he recognized the strategic importance of Saudi Arabia to the future in the global economy back in 1945.
Right.
And here we are in the 20th century still talking about Saudi Arabia.
And this is the father of the present day
of King Solomon right now, right.
Isn't that cool? So here
Amazing.
We are. It's from Eisenhower to Trump.
Yes.
And we'll be talking more about
yes.
that. You got to stay with us the whole time because we're going to be talking about the entire international trip all the way from Saudi Arabia to Israel to Rome.
Yes.
And this is so important because you're looking at the world coming together to end terrorism, to come mm-hmm. together to end them. I think about the partnership for America and Saudi Arabia now has been over 75 years, as you were talking about. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look back at what the State Department is saying about that relationship. This is so important when you think about our relationship over 75 years. And it's one thing that President Trump said. He said, we're going to rebuild our relationships, our partnerships that we had over the years. But the population of Saudi Arabia, John, how is it?
It's about 33 million.
So 33 million. So we're talking about Saudi Arabia. We're talking about 33 million folks.
Yeah, and oftentimes it's important to underscore and highlight that this is a relationship that spans 75 years. Today you talk about the Middle East and everyone gets concerned and get worried, but it's a friendship. It's a relationship that we've had over these last years.
At least some common interest to be able to deal with terrorism that's going on.
Absolutely.
And it's the opposite of what a previous president, prior president, was even, they were basically, according to the prince that was on Fox News, he said that that we wanted to participate, we wanted to go out and fight with America to defeat radical Islam or the radical extremists, and he said that they wouldn't let us.
Yeah, well, there's obviously a divide amongst the Muslim community and religion between the Shia and the Sunni, and so President Trump is actually picking sides, if you will.
Right. So population is 33 million, and out of that population, John, it's 70% of them, according to one of the princes, I believe, is under 30 years of age.
That's amazing.
Yes. What is the population that works? Are the ones that actually
only
have a job?
Reportedly 8 million. Right. 8 million of the Saudis actually work.
Out of 33 million.
8 million.
8 million are working. And also with...
So the rest of them are receiving...
70% being under 30 years old. So they're actually receiving state...
Subsidized. I mean, I think their gasoline is like 4 cents a gallon or something like that.
Yeah. And when some of the reports are every time there's an uprising or something going on, they just write more checks.
They give them more stuff, absolutely.
Yeah, here's $6,000, here's $10,000, and they buy more technical stuff. But the thing about it is, you're looking at, they're talking about the Project 230 or something like that they're wanting to change their culture. So no telling what's going to take place. But I know that when they were together, they signed, President Trump and King Salman signed a deal. You remember the deal they were signing?
$110 billion arms deal.
Tell us about that.
Well, this deal basically states here that the president's underscored this deep, long-standing commitment of the United States to the security and the stability and the prosperity of Saudi Arabia. And they demonstrated this, the president demonstrated his confidence in the future of this relationship. He also emphasized the importance of working jointly to address the challenges to the regional peace and security in defeating ISIS. And according to King, the president and Trump, President Trump and King Salman signed this joint strategic vision statement promising to close collaboration to counter violent extremists and to disrupt the financing of terrorism and advance a defense cooperation. So this is a $110 billion deal that was just signed.
So they're signing that right here.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not giving them money. The previous administration wrote checks, $100 million on pallets, I believe it was, something like that being delivered. We're actually selling them materials that they can fight their own battles. And they're wanting to fight their own battles. They're wanting to deal with the adversary. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be looking directly at the president's speech. When he gave a speech right there, it's so exciting because he walked right into the face of what people just ignored or judged or criticized, but he just spoke truth.
Truth.
He spoke truth to power. Over 50 Muslim and Arab nations came together to hear him, and he did not fold up. I mean, he just came in there and just
said it like
delivered
it,
and we're going to break it down for you, and we're going to go over it. As a matter of fact, we're going to go over it until we cover it all, because you're going to be so encouraged and so confident that we have a leader that's truly doing what they said they're going to do. But join us after this break.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are bringing you the speech from Saudi Arabia, our president's first international tour, as he's setting the agenda and setting vision. And this speech, remember, this is in the presence of 50 Arab Muslim nations, where he is speaking truth. As a matter of fact, he's repeating right now the beginning of his speech, what he said in his inaugural speech. He's letting them know this is exactly what I said at my inauguration, and this is what I'm doing right now. Let's take a look.
In my inaugural address to the American people, I pledge to strengthen America's oldest friendships and to build new partnerships in pursuit of peace. I also promise that America will not seek to impose our way of life on others, but to outstretch our hands in the spirit of cooperation and trust. Our vision is one of peace, security, and prosperity in this region and all throughout the world. Our goal is a coalition of nations who share the aim of stamping out extremism and providing our children a hopeful future that does honor to God.
This is so important. You think about it, he's in the presence of 50, I mean, there's only 33 Muslim nations, yeah, part of the Arab League, right?
Yes.
Nation. So you're looking at 50 Arab and Muslim nations that he's speaking this truth to. And he's speaking at a slower pace because he has translators that are translating, right, what he's saying right there. But he's saying specifically, you know, we want to build these relationships, you know, these former friendships. We want to strengthen them again, build new, pursue new relationships with people who have the same values of dealing with this radical extremism that just took place, you know?
The last 8 years have been so divided and so polarized. The president is now able to come into the Middle East and be able to cast a new vision, right, for his administration. But, you know, also during this time, he additionally to the $110 billion agreement, the Saudi Arabia Kingdom is investing $400 billion in American jobs.
What was the thing about this, too? I know you introduced that part of the speech, but people are saying, I don't know what President Trump's vision is. Mm-hmm. Well, he said right then, our vision is one of peace, security, and prosperity. I mean, think about that. He just said that. And in this region and all around the world. And he looks at everybody and he says, you don't mind getting rich, do you? I mean, that's what he's telling everybody. That's his vision. His vision is peace, security, and prosperity. I didn't want to make sure, because a lot of times we'd look over that. So just said, that's the vision right there. It sounds pretty good.
Beautiful.
Right? Okay. So he is speaking, you said, and about the $400 billion investment.
Correct.
In Saudi,
yes,
Arabia.
Saudi Arabia is investing $400 billion into America to create thousands more jobs. This is an additional amount to the $110 billion that was invested into the arms.
And so they're going to give, we're going to have jobs.
We're going to have jobs.
Their money.
Absolutely.
That's our gas money that we've been sending over there.
We're now send it back. Bring it back.
Isn't that what he said? He said that we're going to get people to invest in us.
Which is great.
People said that was impossible. But they're
running
a $400 billion.
Absolutely.
That's exciting.
Very exciting.
Let's go there now.
Yesterday, we signed historic agreements with the kingdom that will invest almost $400 billion in our two countries and create many hundreds of thousands of jobs in America and Saudi Arabia.
So you look at that, so you think about that, that somebody says, where is this money going to come from? And he was saying, we're going to get people to invest. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, who's going to invest? Well, there's Saudi Arabia, the one that was ignored for the last 8 years, saying that we're going to invest $400 billion, jobs for themselves, which they need because a very small portion of their people actually work. But they're wanting to move towards technology. They even had not a Twitter event, but I forget what it's called, social media thing where they're saying we want to move into this technology.
Well, they're going to need to because oil now is trading well below $100, you know, dollars a barrel.
Right.
So they've lost a significant amount of money. So they're looking at different ways to invest and to partner with America. They have to.
So then that's a $400 billion investment into jobs for America.
Absolutely.
And Saudi Arabia, which is only 33 million. We have a couple more million than that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very exciting. As a matter of fact, here's the president right now, and he's talking about it's time to deal with this radical extremism, this ideology. Remember, he's saying this in the presence of many people who others have said they're the ones that are doing this. And you're seeing they're for ending this radical extremism of terrorism taking place in the world, at least the majority of them. Take a look.
Later today, we will make history again with the opening of the new Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology, located right here in this central part of the Islamic world. This groundbreaking new center represents a clear declaration that Muslim-majority countries must take the lead in combating radicalization.
That's so important because he's saying, listen, I'm telling you the battle that you're about to fight. I am so behind you in this fight. I'm here to tell you that you're fixing to fight it.
That's right.
And you're going to take some of your money, and you're going to give it to us, and we're going to give you some guns and stuff so you can fight this battle against us. That's what he's saying.
And you can pay for it.
Yeah, you can pay for it.
We're not going to pay to right. defend you. You're going to pay for your own defense.
That's what he said he's going to do.
I love it.
But the thing about it is we're finding out that the Saudi people were ready to do it.
Yeah.
The royal family, they were ready to do it, but the previous president would not allow them to get involved in dealing with it, because you're a Sunni and Shiite, and we'll talk about that right now. But also, you have right here about dealing with America's as a sovereign nation. He doesn't apologize for protecting the security of America. He didn't just say that in behind a safe podium at Congress or in a political trail. He's president now, and he goes right in the heart of Islam, but it's, you know, it's Sunni Islam, which is not the radical Iranian Shiite
Twelvers.
Twelvers, so it's a long story. And they're saying they want to participate, but he said the truth even there. He spoke truth to them. He says, listen, I'm going to take care of America. I'm concerned. My job basically is to take care of America.
Isn't that refreshing?
We said that for like 8 years, right? The president's job is not to, as a matter of fact,
defend the world, but to defend the United States of America.
Well, no, we had the president, the previous president said that I consider it my job to defend every negative stereotype of Islam, no matter where it's found in the world.
Well, speaking about that, that's the deep contrast that existed between both of these administrations' first visit. President Obama's first foreign visit was essentially an apology tour and a defense of Islam.
Yeah.
Where President Trump is basically stating the facts, saying, well, we're protecting America, America first.
Totally, totally bipolar opposite. And I really believe, I think you think about Haman, right? And Haman's noose that he was setting up to be able to kill all the Jews. And he built this whole contraption, and it ends up that he gets hung on his own thing. And you think about it, for 8 years, something was being built, and they assumed that it was going to go in the hands of someone else, but God had other plans in store and put President Trump, who comes right in the middle of that and says, shift. And now all the stuff that's been built is being used now to defend Israel and defend America. As a matter of fact, listen to him stand up bold. And remember, he's in the presence of 50 Arab and Muslim nations speaking to their leaders. So he's representing you well. Take a look.
America is a sovereign nation. And our first priority is always the safety and security of our citizens. We are not here to lecture. We are not here to tell other people how to live, what to do, who to be, or how to worship. Instead, we are here to offer partnership based on shared interests and values to pursue a better future for all of us.
That's so important. I mean, what's so cool is that he's talking the way we as believers should be talking, that God loves humanity.
That's right.
He loves all of us, and that, you know, our job is to do what's right. And you can, you know, but I'm not here as a preacher. I'm here as the president of the United States. And it's our job as a church to go in
to
evangelize.
Preach, to share, right?
But listen, it's our partners that help us stay on the air. And thanks to you and people like you who give financially to VFN TV, it allows us to be here and to broadcast. We're reaching over 203 nations right now. It's so many different things that we're doing. We are joining President Trump in Saudi Arabia. He's given this awesome speech, and he's just, I mean, speaking truth to power. He wasn't just doing it on the campaign trail. He wasn't just doing it in Congress. I wish Congress had this kind of boldness and confidence. But here, he comes right there in the presence again. Remember, 50 Arab nations and Muslim nations coming together, and he's saying, listen, this is the beginning of the end of those who participate in terror. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Young Muslim boys and girls should be able to grow up free from fear, safe from violence, and innocent of hatred. With God's help, this summit will mark the beginning of the end for those who practice terror and spread its vile creed. At the same time, we pray this special gathering may someday be remembered as the beginning of peace in the Middle East and maybe even all over the world. But this future can only be achieved through defeating terrorism and the ideology that drives it.
Get this now. He's not talking to Congress. He's not talking to people that are in a political sphere. He's not talking to his local community. He's not talking to New Yorkers. He's talking to the Middle East. He's talking to Islamic nations and Arab nations. And he's saying, listen, the future can only be, this future that he's talking about, beginning of the end, can only be achieved through defeating terrorism and the ideology, which is radical Islamic terrorism, that drives this thing. And that's so exciting because they're saying they're backing this thing up with $400 billion, and they have a war room and stuff they developed. And it's like, this is, you know, so many people are playing politics why God is shifting the world. And we need to participate and support our president in the midst of something like that. What else was in the speech?
In the midst of the speech, he begins to talk about the plight of America and the attacks, the barbaric attacks that have occurred starting from 9/11 all the way to San Bernardino. And he says this in front of these leaders. This is amazing. I want you to watch this.
America has suffered repeated barbaric attacks from the atrocities of September 11th to the devastation of the Boston bombings to the horrible killings in San Bernardino and Orlando. The nations of Europe have also endured unspeakable horror. So too have the nations of Africa and South America. India, Russia, China, and Australia have all been victims. But in sheer numbers, the deadliest toll has been exacted on the innocent people of Arab, Muslim, and Middle Eastern nations. They have borne the brunt of the killings and the worst of the destruction in this wave of fanatical violence. Some estimates hold that more than 95% of the victims of terrorism are themselves Muslim. We now face a humanitarian and security disaster in this region that is spreading across the planet. It is a tragedy of epic proportions. No description of the suffering and depravity can begin to capture its full measure. This region should not be a place from which refugees flee, but to which newcomers flock.
Well, this is so important because he's saying, listen, we need a whole new narrative needs to be placed over this entire area and region. And he's setting the agenda down, talking about, listen, 90% of the victims are Arab, or actually Muslims. And of course, everybody wants to stop the violence, including the Muslims who are not part of the radical extremist Shiite-type views that's going on. And they put $400 billion behind it.
Plus another $110 billion. So we got, half a trillion dollars.
And they're purchasing American products, defensive weapons, to be able to defeat radical Islam. And this is just a huge shift. This was not the enemy's plan. The enemy's plan was to destroy Israel and destroy America as we know it. Well, but you're seeing mercy come
and
in.
And keep polarizing the Middle East. I mean, let's not forget that he also, I believe, spoke with the president of Egypt. And it was a previous administration that was orchestrated that change.
He withheld, yeah.
But it's huge. So what's happening is a new vision's being casted for the Middle East.
Right.
And it's basically speaking truth to power, letting them know that all this atrocity and all these barbaric, terrorist attacks have to come to an end. And you're going to have to start paying for your own defense.
And we've been seeing this. We've been showing you what's happening in the streets where people are being chased down at bus stations and stabbed. People that were stopped at red lights.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's running around trying to stab them while the Palestinian leader, Hamas, pays people to do that, pays the family of
the suicide victims.
It's in their law. Makes statues in honoring those people who do that. And they're saying, we're going to stop this. And that's really stopping the mindset of Hamas and the Palestinian people, what they're doing there. Well, that's why you're seeing some uprising in some other areas. But think about this. Imagine the place being shifted to no longer being a place of violence, but a place that people want to come again. People used to always want to come and see the pyramids in Israel and different things like that. Well, listen,
in Egypt.
But think about what now is taking place. Listen to what the president said. Let's turn it back to a place like that. Take a look.
There can be no coexistence with this violence. There can be no tolerating it, no accepting it, no excusing it, and no ignoring it.
Well, you think about it, there's just no ignoring what he's talking about. We just missed that last one that I was just talking about. But there's no coexistence with violence. And that's so important because it seems like when we came from the last 8 years, it's like we took that and we can take another one, is what our leader previously said. And it's just like, let's go to coexist with radical Islam. As a matter of fact, let's bring the Muslim Brotherhood on our
front stage
on American Homeland Security and have them advise us on DHS, Department of Homeland Security. I mean, that's what we're doing.
That's exactly what we're doing.
And he's saying it cannot coexist. And that's so important because it can. I mean, how can it coexist? You know, how can the one who wants to kill you and the one who wants to bring you life coexist together? They're bipolar opposites.
Yeah. He continues to share in this next part of the speech where he says terrorists do not worship God, they worship death.
Terrorists do not worship God, they worship death.
That's so important because there need to be a division between the radical Islamists, the ones who are extremists and that are killing folks.
Which reportedly are 15% of all Muslims.
Right. About
200 million are radicalized.
Right. And so now you're getting to measure, where our president goes right there and says, this is how it really is. This is true doctrine, if you would. And
but this is refreshing. This
but they agree with it.
Yes, but this didn't occur the last 8 years.
But you haven't heard people say that they wouldn't agree with it. They're saying that all Muslims are this. And it's like, no, you're actually seeing some that would stand
right.
up and say, we're for ending this.
Yeah.
90% of the victims, according to what the president is saying, are Muslims.
Yeah.
And they're wanting to stand up. You know, you're not Muslim enough or you're not Muslim or this type of thing. And so 90% of those victims, and we've seen some pretty tragic things that we had to show you on VFN TV. Now our president is standing up for that. And he's talking about right here, he says, the next thing he's going to be talking about is that if we don't stand up in uniform and uniformly and condemn this, and it's important, not just have one person.
Sure.
In a press room, making a statement, and then going back to play golf. I mean, you got to actually come into agreement. And they are. As a matter of fact, listen to what he said.
If we do not stand in uniform condemnation of this killing, then not only will we be judged by our people, not only will we be judged by history, but we will be judged by God. This is not a battle between different faiths. Different sects or different civilizations. This is a battle between barbaric criminals who seek to obliterate human life and decent people, all in the name of religion. People that want to protect life and want to protect their religion. This is a battle between good and evil.
I mean, he nails it. He said, listen, that you're going to be condemned by God for taking another person's life like that.
That's amazing.
And I mean, what if the church preached like that? You know, I mean, he's not a preacher, obviously. He's a president. But he's speaking truth, and they're receiving the truth, and they're writing a check for $400 billion plus another $110 billion in investing. They've been, this last administration put a narrative out that was not true about what was taking place.
A lot has been said about this president's administration's first 100 days. And I have to say
that
this speech and what he had to say and this agenda that he's laying out in the Middle East is truly historic. And I think it's going to set the agenda for the next 3, 4, maybe 8 years.
Oh, yes.
And we need the stability in the region. I mean, we really need it. Because the church needs to be about the Father's business.
Yeah.
Once we have stability,
we can handle that. We can function. As a matter of fact, we are meeting President Trump in Saudi Arabia, giving this beautiful vision-setting speech and how to deal with terrorism, how to unite over a common value of dealing with radical Islam or terror.
Yeah.
And he says specifically here, you're going to hear him talk specifically about saying, you can't wait for America. Don't wait for us. Don't be looking our way. You're going to have to make a choice for your future. You have two futures, and you're going to have to make a choice. And he's talking to 50 Arab Muslim nations, a huge gathering who wanted to hear what's the vision for the world from the world's power. Take a look.
But the nations of the Middle East cannot wait for American power to crush this enemy for them. The nations of the Middle East will have to decide what kind of future they want for themselves, for their country, and frankly, for their families and for their children. It's a choice between two futures, and it is a choice America cannot make for you. A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land. And drive them out of this earth. For our part, America is committed to adjusting our strategies to meet evolving threats and new facts. We will discard those strategies that have not worked and will apply new approaches informed by experience, talent, and judgment. We are adopting a principled realism, rooted in common values, shared interests, and common sense. Our friends will never question our support, and our enemies will never doubt our determination.
This is so important. That's why we're breaking this thing down. You know, make sure you join us on our next program. There's so much more that's going to be happening. But listen to what he just said. He just said, you have a choice to make. You have two futures that you can choose from. It's for your kids and your future. Don't wait for America. Since I've been running for office, I've been saying, we're not going to fight wars. You're going to pay for your own wars and fight your own wars. Now, Saudi Arabia, according to the reports of some of the princes that was on Fox News, they said, we've been trying to fight it, but previous president wouldn't let us do it. They wanted to be able to fund and help. As a matter of fact, we saw specifically when they showed up, when Syria began to do what they were doing, and they all came to our former president and said, listen, we will pay for the war if you'll just do it. And he passed, the former president, President Barack Obama, passed it off to Putin. Remember, he passed the whole, all the Arab leagues came together.
22 nations, North Africa.
They said the same thing that you're seeing said now by Saudi Arabia. And he just turned it off to Putin at that particular point. He passed it. We had a program. We talked about that. And so now you're looking, he's saying, listen, drive them out. He's talking to the people who have real authority to go in these places that are hurting their own folks. Drive them out. Drive them out of their places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of the Holy Land. Drive them out of the earth. And he's not talking about Muslims. He's talking about these radical extremists that are doing this terror in the earth. It's just tragic. But yet you're seeing a leader come in and say, we're going to do something about it. But you're going to do it. You're going to pay for it. And we're going to have the power, strength of America behind your efforts and what you're doing. That's exciting. It really is. Because you wondered when you were hearing the campaign verbiage and you know all the doubt that was being put by the media because it's so against this thing. And you're saying, well, this is how it's going to work. He's just going to show up, dance around with the swords. And he said, you don't mind if we balance out our deficit on you right here because you owe us money.
That's right.
And it's happening right there in the press. He walked into all of that as a vulnerable man because you'll find out in the next program that he had swords all around him. And the Lord obviously is protecting our president because the Secret Service couldn't have protected him from those things. From the sword that's going on. As a matter of fact, what happened?
Well, the next thing he talks about in his speech, he says that, you know, every Muslim nation is going to have to take on this burden. They're going to have to be involved and be engaged. And it kind of underscores what he said in his previous statement. I want you to watch this and see what he had to say.
Above all, America seeks peace, not war. Muslim nations must be willing to take on the burden if we are going to defeat terrorism and send its wicked ideology into oblivion.
Wicked ideology into oblivion. I mean, that is like...
I love that language. That's Winston Churchill-esque, isn't it?
Yes, is it not? And as a matter of fact, if you go in the Oval Office now, you have over his left shoulder is Winston Churchill, and over his right shoulder is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And that's amazing. Just an amazing stance that's happening right there. We're talking about President Trump. Make sure you join us in our next program because we are going to continue on. There's so many things that was said and people said, well, it's just a speech. Everything is a speech. You think about scripture when you're reading the word of God, that was spoken and then it was written.
Yeah.
And so, and even God, and I'm not saying that he's a preacher, I'm just saying the spoken word is so important that even the gospel is understood by those who actually say it. And when a president, when the most powerful nation in the world makes a statement like this, it shifts things.
And well, policies come as a result of this. You know, strategies come as a result of this. And things do shift. So he's setting the agendas.
Well, Saudi Arabia is totally shift. Within 30 days, they built this entire, we'll talk about it in our next program, they built an entire defensive system to come against this radical extremist effort. In 30 days, they built it. And I know that his daughter,
Ivanka,
was saying, we want to hire those people built all this within a 30-day period. And you're looking at, like they said, over 70% of the population there is under 30 years old. And
only 8 million are employed. So.
Right. But they have technology, so they're connected to the world. They're connected to what's going on. And and you saw how they welcomed our president. You got to see this right here. This is the president's limousine coming in right now, and he's surrounded by the Royal Guard, like the SEAL Team 6 for us, you know. These are like the leading folks right here. You can see it right here. It's coming up on the screen. But they're carrying the American flag surrounding the limousine for our president. Isn't this amazing when you're looking at our president being welcomed by Saudi Arabia. Their greatest military leaders are riding on these horses with carrying American flags. Every other one's an American flag. Surround. They're saying, we're for you, we're with you in this, and they're united in the effort of ending radical Islamic terrorism.
Beautiful.
I mean, we couldn't ask for more than that.
Well, he was received with royal treatment when he came in, red carpet
yes,
and all.
He really was. And as a matter of fact, make sure you join us in our next program because we are going to go into detail. There's so many things that happened there. Policies are going to be set by this. Middle East is shifting by this. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be coming also during this week. Very excited about it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, things are shifting. And, you know, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's plans that prevail. You know, we want to pray right now. We want you to join us in prayer. We want to pray for our president as he's on this tour going from Saudi Arabia to Israel to Rome. We'll be covering all those different areas and what's being said, but an agenda's being set. And you're going to see the enemy probably raise his head a little bit, but once it raises his head, you're probably going to see
a sword.
Something like that. I don't know. God's going to just deal with the sword of heaven's coming to earth.
That's
exactly
right.
What he said. And he's going to deal with us. I want to pray with you right now, and I appreciate you praying with us. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for all of these men and women that said, we want to end this terror on the face of the earth, God, and that we thank you that Saudi Arabia wants to put $400 billion into jobs and helping end this, $110 billion approximately, into owning their own equipment to be able to fight these battles and wars. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing an end. You told me that the evil one is going to come down. The evil one's coming down, and the seed of the righteous is going to rise, Lord. And we just thank you for that word. We believe it, and great provision is going to follow it. And I just pray provision over our family and our audience and all of our tribe just listening from all the different areas, Father God. We bless you in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.